Lord Jesus, for the beauty of this place, not only its outward beauty, but what it means to all of us who go to make up Michigan camp farther south, how we praise you for this hallowed ground. Thank you so much for Marge and for our precious Lee and for their music to us tonight, Lord. Thank you so much for everyone who's here, all the family units. We praise your name for those who wish they could be here and are here by the Spirit. We thank you for those who've gone into heaven before us and even now are interceding with you on behalf of all of us. How we thank you for that. Lord Jesus, you're the one we've come to see and to hear, and we've come to share. We've come to be more wholly yours than we've ever been before, and to really not only know what it is to be yours, but how to be used by you in manifesting your kingdom here on earth. Now, I realize that you know everyone here by name and by need, no secrets hidden from you. And all of us join together in saying, have your way, Lord. Glorify yourself in the midst of your children. And we thank you for it. Amen. Some of us have been to camps for a long time, some longer than others. But the very minute you come to a camp, you belong as much as anybody who's ever been here. I mean, you belong in every way. What you think is just as important as what I think or anybody, well, everybody except me. You see, what you think is important because it's you, and it's just as important as what I think or anyone else. Your experience in the Lord is just as valid as anyone else's. And just because this is your first time, and maybe because it's your first time, you might find that we need you more than you need us. So though you might feel a little bit strange because it's your first time, I want to tell you, assure you really, not just with words, that you belong. Another thing I'd like to tell you about CFO is this. We don't have any CFO doctrine. It's not a church with a doctrine. We don't have a creedal doctrine. You will find, just with the people sitting beside you, all kinds of beliefs, all kinds of experiences. And you might hear me saying some things that you don't quite agree with. That's all right. You don't have to take it. If I say something you don't like, just hang it up. You don't have to reject it. You don't have to accept it. Don't you have a pegboard in your soul? Hang it up on a pegboard. Let it dry. It'll shrivel up a lot when it dries. And so we just learn to live with people who are having different experiences, different points of view, and learning to love one another and express ourselves as members of the body of Christ. If you find someone who's having great experiences in the Lord and they feel like they've got to make you have one just like it, you thank them for their love. But just be honest and say, now, let up a little bit. We don't shove at CFO. We're not shoving anything down anybody's throat. We're just learning together, experiencing together, sharing together. And the very fact that you have the freedom to accept means that you have the freedom to reject. You have the freedom to say no to anything that goes here without being ostracized one bit. Except it's hard to say no at a CFO. But you're free to say it if you have to. Because if those of us who know Jesus and are experiencing in the Lord can't demonstrate in a winsome way, including word but beyond word, then we failed you anyhow. And so realize you're not obligated to accept something just because some of us say it. And in particular, let me say this about myself. Don't accept anything just because I said it. Don't accept it or reject it just because I said it. Don't accept it because you like me. Don't reject it because you don't like me. Weigh it before the Lord. If I say something that the Lord doesn't want you to have, you don't need it. Just hold it before the Lord and say, Jesus, let me have everything you're trying to give me through Tommy, and that which you don't want me to have, let him keep. Thank you, Lord. You know, and handle it just that way, and it'll be beautiful. You won't get on the edge of the seat, and you won't get all shovey when you realize you can live and experience the inflow of the Spirit of God in a very relaxed and beautiful way. Now, another thing about this, you realize that everybody here is God's gift to you. You might just turn to the one beside you now and say, I'm willing to accept you as God's gift. Would you like to do that? Now, you see, if to the degree that you were not quite ready to do this, if anybody wasn't, let me just say to you, you feel a little pressure right now. Don't worry about it. If you weren't free enough to say to a person sitting beside you, I'll accept you as God's gift, that's all right, you belong anyhow. See, you don't have to fit into a form. You're free. You're free to do your thing if you know what your thing is. You know? And if you don't know, then you're free to learn. So let's have that kind of understanding about our walk together in the Spirit. Everybody free to share their own experience in the Lord and shoving none on no one. I somehow love that about CFO. Now, in this experience, it's not just a speaker deal, as all of us know. It is a corporate family experience. And this is why we have all of these various periods of creative and all the rest. It's a family participation as one family under God, doing many things together where we all learn to express our inner lives and see the beauty of God in His diverse manifestations. I know Ruth Stapleton is going to speak on the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and I am too, because you're going to pray for me. And if you're going to pray, the Lord's going to answer your prayer, even if He has to use me. Now, if you don't pray, God won't use me for you anyhow. I'll be anointed and you won't know it. Now, you can just close me out and never get a thing out of anything I say. But I'm going to be preaching real good. But everybody else is going to be doing everything real good as we share together in a total participation where other people are your ministers. A minister. Now, in particular, I found this about a family. God loves to play tricks on His children. You know, God has a great sense of humor. And any person that you've already met whom you think can't be your minister, the Lord's going to play a trick on you. He's going to give you a blessing right through that person before the camp's over. The person tonight that you think doesn't have anything for you, you mark it down. You can put their name down if you want to. I promise you, before the week's out, God will have ministered to you through that person. It's amazing how this happens. And already you're wondering why you're rooming with the person you're with. You think you're wondering now. Wait about 3 o'clock when they wake you up snoring. And you're going to be tempted to want to request a change of roommates. You know. Well, before you do, pray about it. I don't believe it's accidental. I believe it's providential that you're in the room you're in with the person or people you're with. And if you will hold that before the Lord, you'll find wonderful things happening right in your own room with those that are with you there. It's wonderful. We're in for a great and glorious time as Jesus Christ manifests himself in our midst. Now will you pray with and for me? Maybe one of you would like to stand and just say a prayer for me that I might preach as the Holy Spirit leads. Would you do that? Amen. I'm going to tell the story rather than read it from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Jesus was going to the synagogue to worship. It was on Saturday. And apparently got there a little early. And he was walking around the temple, over by the sheepfold, near the temple. Off a porch there was a pool called the Pool of Bethesda. And this pool, instead of having a wishing well, had a real tradition behind it. All of the sick people, or many of the sick people of the community, would come and stay by this pool, and occasionally an angel would come and stir the waters. And the first one who came into the water after they were stirred would be healed. And so Jesus was walking around among that group, and you can picture in your mind what kind of scene it was. They really didn't have modern bath facilities as we have today, and they didn't have a change of clothes every day as we sometimes do today. In fact, many of these people were wearing the same clothes day by day, by day, by day. And you can just imagine bed sores, cripples, blind, stench, aches, groans, sick people, on top of sick people, around this pool. And Jesus came up. There was one man there who'd been there for 38 years. How long have you had your trouble? How long have you been in the shape you're in? You know, well, not many of you would say 38 years. Here's an old boy, 38 years, had been sick. And they had brought him here to this pool every day for 38 years, trying to get him well. And Jesus Christ did not build himself a little cubbyhole over in the corner of the temple and say, any of these people want to get well, let them come to me. Boy, the Lord doesn't wait for that. Jesus lets us know that health doesn't wait for sickness to come to it. Health goes to sickness. Light doesn't wait for darkness to come into it. Light goes to darkness. Heaven doesn't wait for sinners to go to it. Heaven comes to the sinner. God doesn't wait for man to come to him. God comes to man. His name is Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. And God is with us here tonight. Jesus is here by the Spirit tonight. And he's here with you individually. And you have some needs in your life. There's some area in which you are sick. You may not know it, and that means you're all the more sick. You are sick to the degree that Jesus is not through with you yet. If there's any lack in your life to that degree, you're sick. And I've looked at most of you since I've been standing here, and I don't believe I've seen the one that I could say about Jesus is through with that person. He's got something for you you haven't experienced yet.
He's got something to fulfill your life with that you haven't known yet. He's got a ministry to give to you. I mean, each one of us, not just those sitting around us. And not just, I can't just look down at you and say, just for you. He's got something for me. Jesus Christ has got something that I need here tonight. And he's moving in our midst. And he looked at this fellow, and he said a strange thing. He said, do you really want to get well? Do you want to be made whole? Boy, would you ask a man who'd been sick 38 years that? Don't you know the old boy wanted to get well? But I don't think Jesus is just saying, do you have a desire to be better? I think it goes much deeper than that. You know, in order to know what you want, you have to have an understanding of it hidden in your soul. There are a lot of people wanting something, they don't know what it is. They just run around in circles. You know, there are a lot of babies that are starving, but they don't know that it's milk they want. They don't know what milk is, some of them. A lot of people starving tonight, and they don't know that it's bread they want if they've never eaten bread. If they've never seen bread, they're just hungry. And it's that way spiritually. A lot of people starving spiritually. They don't know that it's Jesus they want. They don't know that it's the Holy Spirit they want. In fact, they looked at some of us and decided it's not what they want. And I look at you and you look at me, and some of you think, well, if that's the Lord, I don't want it. But do you know what you want? Do you? In your heart, do you know what you want? Some of you young people come just to be with other young people. In your heart, there's a hunger. Do you know what it is you want? Do you just want goose pimples on your goose pimples? Yeah. Do you just want to have an outward expression of a wonderfully good time? You can have that. But in your heart, is there something hungering for the power of God that'll transform your life and make you whole? Do you have a picture of wholeness on the inside of you? That's really what he was asking this man. Do you desire to be made whole? That is, on the inside of you, do you have a picture of your life as a whole person? Do you have a vision of your life serving God? Do you have a picture of your life ministering in the name of Jesus? Do you have a picture of your life living in love in the home, in the community? Do you have a picture of your life serving mankind and helping to usher in the kingdom of God? Do you have a picture of wholeness on the inside of you? I don't believe you really want to be made whole if you don't have a concept of wholeness. When you think of your own life, with what do you identify? Do you identify with a concept of wholeness? Or are you busy reacting to impressions from outside? I do this a lot, you know. I get the impression that half the world stinks because they don't agree with me. It's so easy for me to get that kind of impression as we move about in this kind of life. Excuse me, I'll get this thing straightened out here. But a concept of wholeness is breaking through the outward impressions and coming to the inward revelation of the Spirit of God and getting God's picture for you. When it talks about us being made in God's own image, that means God has a perfect image for you, and he wants to write that within your own consciousness, that you might see yourself as God sees you, and that in this relationship, you might become a whole person. And that wholeness starts not outside of you. There's no one here that can really cause you to be a whole person. Everybody here can help you. There's no one here that can help me, cause me to be a whole person. Everyone here can help me. But this matter of being made a whole person is an inside job and has to be done by the only one who can do it. And that's the Lord of the universe, and his name is Jesus. And he's saying to you, to me, concerning your life, do you have a vision of wholeness? What does that vision include? I'll tell you what it does include for me. It includes for me being sold out to Jesus in my own heart. It means that for me, and starts there. Over and over and over again, I find the Holy Spirit challenging me about my first love. Do I have some plan I'm trying to get God to support? If I do, my first love is that plan. Do I have a ministry I'm trying to get God to give me? If I do, my first love is that ministry. Do I have certain dreams that I'm trying to get God to fulfill? If I do, that my first love is that dream. Now, I have plans, I have dreams, I have ministry, but what's your first love? And the Lord Jesus Christ says he wants to be that. That means with all your heart on the inside of you, you know whose you are. I belong to Jesus. He belongs to me. I'm sold out to him because he's sold out to me. Are you able to say that about your life? Now, when I'm away from this kind of center, I don't have the power to have real the power structure that makes for wholeness. Anything apart from a real love affair with Jesus Christ is inadequate to hold the body together. This is true for us individually. There's no other power that I know than the power of the Lord and his love that has the ability to make you a whole person. That is to pull all the pieces together so that all of the parts of you begin to focus around a center. Most of us have shattered centers. At center, we're shattered. This is true individually. This is true concerning families. Most of us are from wonderful families. Boy, they're good families. Nothing wrong with our families, except really they're just sort of shattered. They don't have the real center, the focus. So many of our families don't. The father's got a job, and he's doing a good job, making all the money he can to keep his wife comfortable. Send his children to school. She's making all the money she can to keep him from fussing with her. The children are spending all the money they can so that the parents can keep on making it. we find ourselves in so many different interests. And though the home is fine, dedicated, perhaps a Christian home, it really doesn't have a center around which the family revolves in terms of oneness. I find that in church groups. I'm not anti-church one bit. I am more and more committed to God's family, the Church of Jesus Christ, locally and universally. And I get in good churches. They have to be good to invite me. they have to be good to stand me. And I get in good churches. But you know, it's very seldom I get in a local church where I sense that they really have a oneness at center. Most of them are made up of good people, dedicated, but going off in all kinds of directions. We don't have a sense of community, real oneness in the Lord. This is true concerning denominations. I just attended my annual conference. It's as good as any annual conference, maybe better than some. But as I moved around annual conference and I talked with the other preacher boys, all of us sort of felt the same way. Nobody quite belonged. We knew everybody. We sort of loved everybody in a way. We listened to all the program, you know, in a way, and sort of committed ourselves to it, but nobody really belonged because we didn't have the power structure. Now, I'm finding some power structures coming into being. I'm finding some people whose lives have been shattered, whose dreams have been shattered. And it's not just old people who have shattered dreams. There's not a youth here who hadn't had some disappointments in life. You've had some dreams to be shattered. You've had some plans that you've had to give up, and you'll have some more, and I will too. You've had some commitments that have gone haywire on you. You've had some relationships that didn't pan out right, and you've had some shattered experiences. All of us do. But I'm discovering that in Jesus Christ, and I'm discovering this in a lot of different people, that when they come back to first love and say, Jesus, you blessed me, and I had a wonderful time, it was walking in victory, and somehow I took my eyes off of you, and I left my first love, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm coming back. And I'm going to just submit, I'm going to forget about any kind of reputation, any kind of particular power that I have, you know, any kind of, I'm just going to come back and sit at your feet and love you. And right there at Jesus' feet on the inside of you, there's that power that pulls you together and begins to pull in all these broken pieces. Now, this is happening in individuals. It's happening in families. It's happening in church groups. You know, I've just come from an experience like this. I was over in Nebraska. Just got in. I left there at noon today. We had about 250 people, I guess, at that camp, Father's House. Walter Fiskus was scheduled to be the other speaker with me. Last Saturday night, Walter Fiskus had an accident down in Texas. Broke his collarbone, couldn't come. Well, they had already invited Francis McNutt, this Catholic priest friend, Dominican from St. Louis. He and I worked together a great deal. Just got back from South America together. They'd already invited him to come and have the meditations for us. And so when Walter called and said he couldn't come, they asked Francis if he'd be the other speaker. And so there we were, a Methodist evangelist and a Catholic priest.
Placed on the table on a second sight.